Sellers who are pricing their houses right are seeing their homes sold. If you're looking to be successful, it's not about the sale. It's about the service.
Good morning and welcome to Real Estate Matters with Michael Guthrie, voted the 2010 Realtor of the Year by his colleagues in the industry and the CEO of Roy Wheeler Realty. Archived audio of Real Estate Matters is available at wina.com.
Good morning, Charlottesville. Welcome to Real Estate Matters. I'm Michael Guthrie, and you're listening to News Radio 1070. It's great to have you here this morning with me, sitting in the studio with my friend Glenn. And we're looking forward to a jam-packed half-an-hour show with you this morning. We want to talk about a number of different things, basically surrounding an internet link site that I saw yesterday that talked about interest rates being at a 50-year low. Just phenomenal when you think about the interest rates. I had an opportunity to listen to a colleague, Rob Schilling's show. I think it was on Wednesday. And Peter Seferati from one of our sponsors, New American Mortgage, was on doing a real estate financial update. And they were talking about interest rates and what's actually going on in the marketplace. And as I got to thinking about it, I actually even called in on the show and asked Peter a question, which I want to kind of expand on this morning. But as I got to thinking about it, with interest rates being at an all-time low, it's creating something that I wasn't sure we were going to see again for a while, and that is the opportunity to refinance. I really felt like a couple of years ago when we had a pretty significant refinance blitz, if you will, that that folks got in there, did their thing, got a lower interest rate, put themselves in a better place with a lower payment, and now they're just in a place with a fixed rate, hopefully, mortgage and just moving along. But now, with interest rates being at a 50-year low, I mean, we're down under 4%, even with a 30-year fixed. If you go to a 15-year mortgage, it's even lower than that, into the, you know, almost 3.5%. And that is just extraordinary. As Peter said, it's like the mortgage business is giving us a gift. And I'm not sure I'm willing to go that far, but it does raise the question, two different questions that I want to talk about a little bit in the first part of the show. And the first one is, if you haven't bought something, why haven't you? And that comes around the whole topic of rent versus buy. And if you are on Facebook, I encourage you to go to facebook.com/realestatematters and look at the article that I posted there yesterday in regards to, is it better to buy or to rent? It's a New York Times article. It's got an interactive way that you can calculate your own particular situation and find out whether renting truly is better than buying or vice versa. There was another article this week that showed numbers of places in the country where I think like New York and Washington, D.C., they were saying it was better to rent versus buy. But other parts of the country, they were saying by far it was better to buy. And it's not just about price. It's not just about, am I getting it for the right price and is my property going to appreciate over a certain amount of years? I mean, that's certainly what you want to have happen, hope is going to happen. But it's also about protecting your money. Having a situation where your rent is $1,000 a month, for instance, and you pay $1,000 a month every month, and at the end of the year, you've paid $12,000 and you have nothing to show for it. Whereas if you can get into a property with that same mortgage payment of $1,000, you're paying $1,000, but at the end of the year, yes, you've paid $12,000, but one, you've very, very slowly begin to build a little bit of equity because your loan is being paid down a little bit in principal, mostly in interest in the first several years. But that's the other aspect, is that you're getting an interest deduction, which the government still hasn't taken away from you, that allows that $1,000 payment, just as an example, if you get into the 28% tax bracket, that $1,000 now is essentially $720 after taxes. And that puts you in a position to you know, leverage your money in a better way. And so I encourage you to get with somebody that you trust. Get with a loan officer. New American Mortgage, great folks. They'd love to talk to you about your situation personally and whether or not it's the right time to buy. And there are other very, very fine, reputable lenders in our area. I personally, and I'll probably get some people mad at me about this, but I would ask you to please steer away from the internet lenders. They'll show you great rates and they'll you know, kind of attract you in there. But what ends up happening is, one, you're getting with somebody who really doesn't care about building business. They're someplace in some other part of the country, and it's just about that particular product. And so they're not, the service really isn't going to matter as far as repeat business, if you will. The second thing is oftentimes those interest rates are they look good, but then when you get the good faith estimate, you get the closing costs, you get those kind of things, you realize that you're paying a whole lot more than you need to. And so I really encourage you, if you're looking to consider getting a mortgage, that you work with a local lender who works with realtors on a regular basis, who really need to do a good job because they want to get repeat business from not only the realtor, but from you as you provide great compliments in regards to how they handle things. So anyway, that's the first question. And the second question comes down to, golly day, I own my house. The market is confusing at best, challenging, miserable at worst. Maybe what I ought to do is refinance. And maybe I refinanced a couple of 3 years ago. Should I be refinancing again? And that is another question that you have to answer individually. But I will say this to you. You're in a situation where if you can see that you're at least a point and a half, 2% lower, that you can get a point and a half percent, 2% lower interest rate, then you really should be considering refinancing, especially if you're going to be staying in that property for 3 to 5 more years. The problem with refinancing, if you're only going to be there a year, is there's a 2 to 3% of that loan value cost that you're going to incur, that you're going to, the monthly payment that you're saving is going to take several years for you to make up that difference. So you need to be careful about that part of it. But if you can, another thing too is if you have an adjustable rate mortgage and you can refinance to a fixed rate, then absolutely do it. Put yourself in a position where you've got a fixed rate and you don't have to worry about what the economic conditions when that adjustable rate mortgage matures, that you don't have to worry about that interest rate going up. So if you've got a fixed rate, you can get to fixed rate, then absolutely do it. And then the last thing before we head into the break is there's a wonderful opportunity now that you can refinance your house with what's called an FHA 203K streamlined product. And you can actually refinance your house and get money to finish the basement, to put an addition on, to put a pool in the backyard, whatever it is that you want to do to allow yourself to stay in that house for another couple, 3 years until the market sort of settles down a little bit. And that's an encouraging thing. And then also, if you've got a fair amount of equity, you can do what's called a cash out refinance. And what that means is your house is appraised at a certain price. You've got a, let's say your house is appraised at $200,000. You're going to do a 80-20 loan, so $300,000, 20% of that makes it a $240,000 loan, and you've got a significant amount of equity. You can actually take some of that money out and do something else, buy a second home right now, this weekend, UVA move-in weekend. You might be in a situation where you could refinance and cash out and help pay for your child's tuition. And if you can't pay for their tuition, at least maybe you can pay for all the things that they're putting into the dorm rooms right now. I mean, it's amazing to look at the pictures of what dorm rooms look like now versus, gosh, 40 years ago when I moved in to my dorm in Dabney in 1971. I mean, it is just phenomenal what these rooms look like compared to what ours is. So, again, that refinancing, you can put yourself in a position where just get a lower payment to help yourself. You could put yourself in a position to renovate, but the one that's the most important is if you're an adjustable rate and you can get to a fixed rate, absolutely do it. That's a no-brainer. But you do want to make sure that it's a 1.5-2% difference in interest rate from where you are to where you could go. We're going to take a break. We've been talking about New American Mortgage. They'll give you a number where you can call them. We're also very thankful to have Classic Furniture supporting the program. And we appreciate Zeke and their family. Folks, we really appreciate you being on the show, and I'll look forward to talking to you after the break. Welcome back to Real Estate Matters. I'm Michael Guthrie. You're listening to News Radio 1070. If you're hearing something that that makes sense to you and that you think somebody else might want to hear about, please visit us at wina.com. Click on podcast, go to Real Estate Matters, and then this show will be archived. It'll probably be up by Monday or Tuesday of the earlier week. And you can also go down and look at all the number of other shows that that we've produced over these last several months. And they're good little tidbits. They're little reminders about not only what's going on with mortgages, what's going on with how to buy a house, how to sell a house, but we also do overviews of real estate communities and talk about real estate contracts. We do a lot of different things, and all those things are archived at WINA.com. Click on podcasts, go to Real Estate Matters, and you can find them there. One thing before I bring my my guest on the show for this morning is I wanted to touch base just again on trends. And, you know, right now, this last week has just been crazy as far as the last almost 2 weeks, been crazy with the stock market up, the stock market down, what's going on. And I think it's really important when these kind of things are happening is you need to look at the long term. And that's true with real estate as well. Real estate is long term, and that's what we're going to be talking about in a couple of minutes. But I saw an interesting chart yesterday. I know the rates went down again yesterday about 153. I mean, not rates, but the point Dow went down about 153 points. But I found something on a blog that I watch fairly regularly. It's called KCM Blog. K, C as in Charlie, M as in Michael, blog.com. And the article is The Economy, Why All the Panic. And the interesting thing is, we won't go into it, but I thought it was interesting that in August of 2010, which was last year, folks, the Dow was at 10,213 points. In August of 2011, and I think it was before yesterday, the Dow was at 11,405 points. So even though things are crazy, it's a whole lot better than it was a year ago, but we tend to forget that because we are so short-term focused. And that's what I want to spend the rest of the show this morning on. As I shared with you, I was on called in on Rob Schilling's show on Wednesday because they were talking about something near and dear to my heart, real estate. And I asked Rob to come on today. Rob, welcome to the show.
Hey, Michael, it's great to be on with you. You know I always enjoy talking about real estate.
Well, and that's, you know, it's funny. When I called in on Wednesday to talk to you and Peter, I thought, you know what? I'm going to get Rob on the show Saturday if he's available because I remember you saying, I think you may have even said it that day, licensed since 1995. Is that correct?
Actually, 1985.
Okay, 1985. So that's even longer. And you started in California. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I actually bought my first real estate before I was licensed back in 1981, and then a few years later got my California real estate license.
Well, you know, when in talking and listening to your show and your passion for real estate as well as lots of other topics, one of the things that I know in some conversations we've had is that you and your wife have had the privilege of and the blessing of being able to buy properties along the way, and now they're in a position where they're actually positively impacting your lifestyle. And I thought it would be fun just to get a layperson like yourself, and just as we talk about what we've been talking about this morning in regards to low interest rates and a great time to buy, and quite honestly, investors are coming back into the marketplace. Just share, you know, quickly kind of your experience, how you got into it, and what positive things you've seen from it. I mean, I know you've seen the headaches of property management and things like that, but from a standpoint of, you know, financial investment and security for your family, how have you found this to work for yourself?
Well, it's really been great, Michael. As I mentioned, I started when I was a pretty young man, and actually when I was about 12 years old, I made a very conscious decision that I wanted to own my own home from a very early age. So, you know, all my friends used to make fun of me as a spendthrift and a tightwad because we'd go down after school and stop by the store, and they'd buy Cokes and snacks, and I would never spend a penny because I was saving. But what that did was it allowed me to purchase a home at a very young age, and the first home that I purchased was actually a duplex, and I did not move into it. I bought it at a probate sale, so it was part of an estate, and we got a very good price on it, and I rented it out, And it was basically I put 20% down, and it was turning positive from day one.
And just for you folks, Rob, hang on
1 second. Yeah.
For folks that don't know, turning top positive means that from day one, he had more money coming into the property than was going out. So just making sure people understand the terminology there.
Yeah, and just so people know, it wasn't like we had a interest rates then like we do now. I think the loan at the time was probably around or over 10%, you know, which sounds incredibly high now, but
right.
At that time it was pretty cheap.
And so you did that at that turn positive. I know you've had other properties as well. Have you ever been in the situation? Because one of the things that I encourage people on the show is if they can buy that first home, as I was talking to folks earlier this morning about, you know, buying versus renting, taking the house that you have and keeping it when you went to buy the next one.
It's exactly what we did, and you know that was one of the nicest properties that I ever owned up until my current home. And I never, ever ended up living there, although I thought I would at some point. But I did buy my second piece of property, and that was also a duplex. And I ended up moving into that one and keeping the other one. And then a few years later, I bought my own home because I'd spent enough time living with tenants on my own property. And I kept all of the properties and then rented the one out that I had been living in. So by that time, you know, they were bringing in several hundred dollars a month each in positive cash flow. And, you know, it was at a time in my life, Michael, when I was playing a lot of music. I was kind of an artist, but I never wanted to be a starving artist. And so real estate was really a way for me to keep my ability to not be a starving artist and still pursue things that I enjoyed doing, like playing music and making records and things.
And folks, I'm asking these questions. I don't even know the answers that Rob's going to give us, but as you've put these properties together, and one of the things I was talking about earlier is the ability to do a cash out refinance for something else. Have you done that at any time during this, you know, these last 25 years?
Well, we did on a couple of occasions. One was not really a cash out refi, but in essence, it was. We 1031 tax exchanged our California properties when we moved to Virginia. And based on the market timing, you know, California was a little slow at the time, but prices were very good here. And we were able to sell those two properties and buy more than that here. So that was one instance. And then we did take out some money and invest it later off of one of the properties and reinvest that into another property. So we've been able to do that. We've also refied along the way into some pretty favorable loans that are fixed rate loans, and so our expenses are fixed on the properties as well.
You know, Rob, I really appreciate, I'm glad I asked the question, because I really appreciate you bringing up the 1031 tax deferred exchange. Folks, it is a great, it is one of those things that a lot of people don't know about, but my wife and I owned a little townhouse here, and we ended up selling that and doing a 1031 tax deferred exchange for a little property down in Naples, Florida. And what happens is, You sell your property and you have X amount of assets that come out of it, and you put it into, with an attorney, you put it into an escrow account, and then you go down and you buy something else, and that attorney takes the money out of that escrow account and uses it to purchase that house so that you never touch it. And because you never touch it, IRS lets you, you know, move that cash, the capital gains tax forward. Come into play at that point. It just moves right into that other property. And something that Rob said that I think is really important is that when he did his, you don't have to do one property and buy a property. You can, you know, sell a property and maybe have $100,000 or say $500,000 value. You could come and buy five $100,000 condos with that same property. And so if you've got an investment property, you know, that's something to really look at, talk to a real estate attorney about. And it's one of those secrets that a lot of people are not aware of.
Yeah, it really, you know, you get professionals to handle this, obviously, because it's complex tax-wise, but for the buyer and the seller, the paperwork is not difficult, and it is quite a tremendous savings on the immediate tax impact that you might face otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the other thing that, going back to, you know, getting those things into a fixed rate, one suggestion that I think is really important for folks is some of us can't afford the higher monthly payment. We'd love to do the 15-year mortgage so that we get that paid down quickly. But most of us can't afford that additional amount a month. But what we can do, there's a couple little tips to help you with that. One is you in a lot of the mortgage companies, ask your mortgage company if you can do this. They'll let you pay half of it at one part of the month and half of it another. So you make two payments a month. So say your mortgage is $2,400. You make a $1,200 payment at the first of the month. You make a $1,200 payment at the 15th of the month. And actually, you make one extra payment a year by just doing that, but you just don't feel it. It's the same amount of money. The other thing that you can do, that I have a number of friends that do this, is they pay what they have to pay on their 30-year mortgage, but whatever they have left over discretionary from that month, having not having to pay things or whatever, they just make a principal payment. And what that can do is dramatic. You wouldn't believe what a 30-year mortgage, if you do those kind of things, how it can be reduced by 7, 8, 10 years. And, Rob, I don't know if you've ever used any of those strategies, but be curious to get your input on that.
Yeah, actually, we have used a strategy similar to the first one that you referenced, which was making an extra payment a year. And instead of paying bi-monthly, as you suggested, we took another track, which was just to divide up, you know, one payment over 12 months and add that amount to principal over each monthly mortgage payment. So at the end of the year, we had, in effect, made that extra mortgage payment a year. And it does dramatically drop and speed up that amortization of the property so that your principal is dropping very quickly. You know, in thinking about this investment and where it's going to be when it's paid off, I mean, they're going to be very, very profitable. And I think that anybody can be in this position if they invest wisely up front and just make the right investments.
Yeah, I think the thing that's really important in our just our last few seconds here is folks think that there's not money out there. If you've got a good credit score and you've got a little bit of money, there are still, you know, wonderful FHA, minimum down payment, and you get the seller to pay your closing costs. And so you can get into a property at a pretty reasonable rate. But as I always say on the show, if you can do it, keep that monthly payment at a place where if you had to rent it, you'd get the rent for it. Rob, I really appreciate your time. Our time is up, unfortunately, but I really appreciate you coming on the show. I hope you have a great weekend.
Hey, Michael, thanks for inviting me. I look forward to doing it again.
All right, Rob Schilling, got a show here from 12 to 2 every Monday through Friday on WINA. Glad to have him on the show. Folks, my time is up, but really, 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 I appreciate you and thank you for yours.